So, moving on to the mind tetrad. You've had a mind this whole time. Same way you've had a breath, you've had a body. The previous contemplations have already brought us in contact with the mind. You're experiencing it get more or less concentrated, noticing it wanting or not wanting, noticing it content. Yeah, so we've touched into the mind already. And so we've touched into the mind through these other tetrads, through the body and through Vedana, which are a little bit more tangible. So it's helpful. They're a little bit more there. The mind is less physically tangible in a sense, although we can begin to learn how to relate to it through the body if we're sensitive in that way. Because it is a little bit more intangible, you might find it's more beneficial for you to just keep working with the four-stage mindfulness breathing. And as I said, there's a full practice in there, really. So in intentionally bringing up the mind as an instruction, we're creating a little short circuit. We have our little thing we do, and all of a sudden we're just going to go... And what we're doing is we've got this mind, this sense of self that's relating to the world as other, and we're sitting in here, and we're always going out there saying that what's happening out there is kind of the cause of my happiness or unhappiness. Yeah, so we're in this kind of dualistic situation, and we're very into that divide. We're really into that gap between me and what's out there. So what we're doing is making this thing that's usually always looking outward, this self, the subject, mind, the object. So we're kind of turning it around really quickly on itself, and we'll see what's going on in here then. Just for myself, I know yesterday in the slow walking, this very subtle thing happened, which would have probably happened anyway, and I probably would have just missed it, you know, if I weren't having this condition set up to catch this. So I'm just walking back and forth, not much is happening, and really subtly, I have a thought. I wasn't trying to think it, it arose, and it was definitely a thought that was unpleasant according to my views, right? So condition on my views, it's all about anti-authority and all this stuff. I had this thought come in, and I found it really unpleasant. And then not only did that, I associated this thought with this person who isn't even on the ground. So who knows where this poor person is? And I just started feeling aversion towards this person, but it more quickly got into a story about how they are. So this is, we're talking microseconds here. And in a way, it was so subtle that it could have just happened. I wouldn't have noticed it was happening at all. And I just would be, in my own head, solidifying my view of this person as being really dogmatic and whatever. Yeah, so what if I didn't catch it? Well, even now that I have caught it. So then I just go around projecting all this stuff that's just really happening in me out into the world. Yeah, so in a way, it's causing me suffering because I'm kind of lost in this battle. It's a very battling story, like me here, them out there, this divide, this tension. So I'm causing myself suffering, and then if I act on it in body, speech, let's say I see them and I'm kind of cold in body language or I'm kind of harsh in my speech in some way without even realizing, it's not even calculating, it just happens, yeah? Then it causes them suffering because they're noticing, well, what's going on with this, yeah? So this kind of thing's happening all the time. Happens with inflated love, too, right? So it's like, I was saying on retreat, it's great. You know, sort of, this is my soulmate. And the person's just trying to get on with their meditation. But now they have to be your soulmate. You know? Like life wasn't complicated enough. So we're turning our attention inward, exploring our part in things. Just learning the ways in which we create these little tight knots. And also learning about the ways in which we already don't. So sometimes Buddhism says, oh, we start getting less attached, you know. And then if you're like me, you think, oh, that doesn't sound very nice in a way, because I don't want to become just dry and dull. You know, I'm not looking for early retirement here from life. You know? And I have the name Viveka, which ironically means detachment. I was given that name. It's not that we just become dry and dead. Yeah, but usually we're passionately clinging. If we think about being passionate, we're passionately clinging, you know, giving ourselves rope burn. So we can think about just passionately letting be, passionately letting go, letting everything be instead. Okay, and the mind is very important. That's why we're studying it. That's why we're looking at it. Just like that little story about the thought coming in, you know, it affects how we see the world, how we experience ourselves. So some technical things which we're not going to get into, but I know some of you have heard all these different things and you like to correlate them. But I'll just say, what does mind mean? Well, in Buddhism, it's more a process than a thing. And I think the simplest way of looking at it is in the five skandhas, skandhas in Sanskrit. It's a classification of what our experience is. And we've already been through two of them, so I think it's a nice, simple way to look at it. So form, body, vedana, feeling. And then there's perception, volitions, and consciousness. So we can think of mind as more the perceptions, volitions, and consciousness stuff. Although mind relates with all of it, as we've seen, you know, we we notice feelings, we notice the body. So mind can relate with all these five khandhas, but in the mind tetrad, we're particularly aware of perception, volition, and consciousness. Perception is just how we interpret. Okay, so you have a raw feeling and we like or dislike it, kind of like good, bad, all that kind of labeling. And volitions is how we act on it, okay? So that's wanting, not wanting. So, you know, we have pleasure, pain, like, dislike, and then it gets even into volitions, wanting, not wanting. So we start to act on it. And all other things we do, acts of just being still, is an act. And then consciousness is just kind of being aware, knowing, knowingness. And we'll explore consciousness as well. We've already dipped in, right? We've already noticed liking, wanting, not wanting. So we're just going to do more of that work. We're just going to look more at that part of it and not so much at the Vedana part of it. Study a little more the flavor of the liking, disliking, wanting, not wanting, and when we're at peace with things, what are other options to this? The other thing we can classically be aware of is greed, hatred, and confusion, which we have been aware of when the mind wants or doesn't want or just kind of goes dull and blank and fantasizes. So we've already talked about that, yeah? It's also important to be aware of when the mind's free from those. Try not to be problem-oriented here. We don't need to create more problems or just look at ourselves as a problem. Yeah. There's nothing that needs to be fixed here. So you can put away your screwdrivers and all that kind of stuff and just notice. So what does it mean that the hindrance is helping us? The hindrances are a way in which these states manifest, so they help us see what we get up to. So they're great. Otherwise, we just not even know what the hell is going on. So we have a little name for them, and it helps us. So craving for sense desires related to craving, ill wills related to aversion, and being sleepy or mentally dull or restless or anxious, going to the past or the future, and doubting are all ways of being confused. So we'll just explore those. We do then make them the object, and we just explore the flavor of them. So instead of thinking, oh, I've got to get rid of this in order to meditate, it's like, let's meditate upon this. Okay, so we'll do a sit. We're aware of the kleshas, the defilements, sometimes called the poisons, and knowing if the mind is caught up in them or free from them. And when it's free from them, the mind's not just in a state of absence of. Yeah, it's a rich state. So unfortunately, in early Buddhism, I don't know whether they just lacked creativity in words or something, but you have a lot of words that are not something else. And in a way, later Buddhism tried to correct that. But because this is an early Buddhist teaching, in a way, I don't have that many other words for you. But maybe that makes it more of your own exploration. So there is a state of non-hatred, but that doesn't really quite do it as a state in itself. You could say states of compassion, I guess, and metta. But there's actually an active state of non-hatred, which is purifying hatred. It's actually actively noticing if there is hatred and letting it go. Interesting. So there's all sorts of rich states that are not these, states of greed, aversion, and delusion. So dwell in and explore those, and we'll create a whole new teaching from this retreat, and we'll help the world out with some new states they could check out. I mean, they're there in Buddhism. I just think sometimes it sounds a bit dry in the Abhidharma. So we're aware of when these kleshas are present and when we're free from them, and just really drinking the flavor of what's going on in that way. Just to give you a little sense of the flavor of each, which you might know very well already. Craving or raga. So that wanting is maybe a simple way, that wanting feeling. So what's there when we're free from that? When, even when it comes up, if we just let it be, and we're content just to be with what's happening, then what's the flavor of our mind? Free from that wanting, contentment, ease, whatever it is, drink that flavor. Yeah. If it's always craving, then the more you're content to be with craving, that's the only path to anything else, actually. Because if you try to push it away, then you'll just notice the flavor of the next one, which is aversion. That's not wanting. So really the only path to freedom from kleshas is to be willing to let them be there with awareness. It might have the tone of anger, even. So remembering awareness has this kindness to it as well. So whatever's happening, kind attention to it. And then delusion or confusion, a sense of running in circles or stumbling in circles, not knowing really what's going on or what we want or don't want, a sense of being lost. And this third one I
like it's dimness, so dullness. It's kind of like you're in a room and you're trying to read and the light's not quite bright enough, that feeling. I don't think we often study that. We're usually either just lost in it or just trying to correct. Yeah, so it's great to take the opportunity to actually experience dullness, dimness, and its flavor, and to learn from it. So that's all we're going to do is be aware with kindness, if we can manage it. Kindness, just trying to have kindness. If we can't have kindness, we try to have kindness towards not having kindness. And we're not correcting or interfering. So whatever's there in the quality of the mind, just try to notice it. Notice what's happening. And just learn what's it like, this state.